Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water. Thought, oh good Lord, she had them long tail legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, well, baby, you a song.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, and we got to get right to it. Fast and Furious. Welcome in our first big guest tonight, Aaron Levine, sports director at Q13 in Seattle. Aaron, what's going on? Thanks for joining us one more time on the Double.
Thanks for having me, guys. How you doing?
Good, good, Aaron, and thanks for being on the show, man.
Of course. Of course, my favorites, and a fun weekend to talk about too.
rooting
interest this weekend between the Seahawks and then the Huskies going up against my alma mater in Stanford. So it was a pretty emotional back and forth weekend as far as an emotional roller coaster.
Well, man, let's get right into it. You're talking about the game on Saturday, the Stanford Cardinal hosting the number 15. So the number 5 Stanford Cardinal hosting the number 15 ranked Washington Huskies. That had to have been an exciting time for you, of course, covering the Huskies, but yet being a Cardinal alum.
By far, it was the most difficult week of the year, and it is every single year because to cover the Huskies on a regular basis, and I normally root for them on a weekly basis. I can't do that when they're going up against my alma mater. And it really wasn't a problem the first 4 years because Stanford handled them fairly easily. Even when they're up in Seattle, they beat them 41-0. Then down there, it was like 65-21. The last year, I heard it from every Husky fan and their mother when they pulled off that upset at CenturyLink Field, 17-13. So you can tell that this team is kind of turning that corner and going to that up-tempo offense and offense struggle that Stanford tends to struggle with outside of that Oregon game last year. I knew it was going to be a tough battle, and that's exactly what it was, all the way down to the final whistle.
Yeah, so Stanford jumps out from the beginning, you know, a kickoff return, run back to the house. And, you know, it looked like it was going to be one of those games that Stanford was just going to impose their will, and it looked like it was going to be maybe a 35-0 route. But the Huskies did a good job, and Coach Sarkisian did a very good job in, you know, rallying his guys and telling them, hey, you know, it's just one score. I mean, you know, do you see this as being a rival now? I mean,
it's becoming a rivalry, especially after Sark's comments after the game accusing Stanford of taking injuries. He said something like that publicly. It's definitely gotten to the Stanford team, and the players were tweeting about it yesterday, Ben Gardner and Shane Scope, two of defensive leaders and defensive captains on this team, who ardently denying faking injuries to slow the Huskies' up-tempo offense down. And I think the way that I see it, of course, there's a Stanford bias in there, but why would two of the very best players on the team take themselves out of not only one play, but I believe Ben Gardner missed for 4 plays in that defining stretch coming down the wire there. I mean, it's usually one of the second-string guys, or it normally doesn't happen that way, and they're both completely denying that happened. So it should be interesting going forward after Sark publicly said that. I will say this, though. You say, you know, early on it looked like it might be 35-0. Yeah, they got out on top 10-0 early, but they weren't scoring. Stanford wasn't scoring points when they needed to, and that's a huge credit to defensive coordinator Justin Wilcox. He has done such a great job with this Huskies team
over the last few
years since taking over from Nick Holt.
And yeah, Aaron, like you're mentioning, it's almost night and day how the defense is showing up every week, doing a good job, and going toe-to-toe with Stanford and holding them at bay when they needed to.
Yeah, and listen, Stanford's play calling in the fourth quarter was absolutely atrocious. And when I say atrocious, I mean extra conservative. They didn't have a single passing yard in the fourth quarter. And you can credit Wilcox and you can credit the secondary. I mean, Greg Ducrey and Marcus Peters are two of the best 1-2 punch. I kind of compare them to Brandon Browner and Richard Sherman at the NFL level because they've really been holding their opponents to fewer passing yards than they've been averaging coming into a game. So you know, credit the Huskies' defense, but at the same time, you have to knock Stanford's offense for going way conservative in that fourth quarter because this is a game where the Huskies got close. They got within 3 points a few times, and every time they punched, Stanford counterpunched, and it was nice to see, at least until the fourth quarter, when they actually gave the Huskies an opportunity to either tie or take the lead at the very end of the game.
Yeah, Aaron, regardless of who you were rooting for, it was just a great football game to watch. I mean, it was back and forth. It was, you know, Holyfield, Tyson, uppercut after uppercut, blow by blow, and each team responded until the very, very end.
If the Huskies didn't rack up as many penalties as they had and they played a better game of special teams, special teams killed them in that game, then I think they overall, offense, defensive side of the ball, they outplayed Stanford throughout much of that game, and they should have come away with a win. So it was a huge relief, I think, from the Stanford side to have survived that game. And it was also a big, you know, it was tough for the Huskies, but it was also a big proving ground for them to show that they are a top 15 team. They are a legitimate top 15 team, and it's going to be interesting to see how they handle the up-tempo offense of Oregon this week and going back out on the field is probably twice, if not three times as more times as they were against Stanford this past weekend.
Aaron Levine, kind enough to join on the double with the Double S Express. Aaron, during that game, the Stanford-Washington game, 31-21, you know, going into the fourth quarter, you know, the Husky teams of old, Keith Price, you know, he's shown a lot as far as his maturity is concerned. Of course, he's a fifth-year senior. You know, they march down the field, and, Keith Price passes to Jaden Mickens, a one-yard touchdown. The Huskies get another chance in the fourth quarter. Tell me about the incomplete pass late in the fourth quarter. Do you think that was an incomplete pass, or was it a completion?
Personally, I think it was an incomplete pass. What I'm upset about, and I completely understand the argument that there wasn't enough conclusive evidence to overturn that call. That had it been a rule of incomplete pass on the field, then it probably wouldn't have been called a catch upstairs. But the fact that it was called a catch on the field, a lot of Husky fans are really upset about the fact that there wasn't enough conclusive evidence to overturn the call of a catch on the field. What I'm a little disappointed about is that there were only two angles. I mean, this is an ESPN right. game, a nationally televised game between two top 15 teams, and you only had two not very clear angles of whether whether Kevin Smith caught that ball or not. And right. I personally saw the nose of the ball hit the ground, but you also aren't able to see his right arm and whether his right arm is under the ball at the same time, because the ball doesn't move very much either. So that was, unfortunately, it came down to that one reviewable call, and it really shouldn't have. If you're a Husky fan, forget the penalties and special teams, Austin Seferian Jenkins should have made that catch on third down, and then you don't have a fourth down in question.
Yeah, you're
right. Drive alive, and you have a chance to either tie or win the game.
Yeah, you know, all the talk about Jenkins, and, you know, he's a high-profile tight end, and Keith Price puts a strike. I mean, it's perfect. All he has to do is stick his hands out and catch it, and for whatever reason, I mean, you know, he just didn't pull it in. You know, but I believe it's a different game if he makes that catch, and, you know, I believe the Huskies, you know, take care of business. But it is what it is, and you had mentioned earlier as far as the penalties are concerned. I can't remember a game outside of, you know, an NFL game, if you're actually at the, you know, Oakland Raiders games, that you see a lot of laundry on the field. Man, the Huskies accrued quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's been that way all season long so far for the Huskies. They've been playing undisciplined football so far, and maybe that's fairly, Sarkisian said today. He agrees with some of them. He disagrees with others. But for the most part, they've been one of the most penalized teams in college football, and that really needs to stop. And it's not just the over-aggression penalties. It's the stupid false start penalties. It's the illegal motion penalties. It's the penalties before the snap that really need to end, because they're going to cost them in crucial games. And to get back to Keith Price, what a stud. I mean, he played such a great game. And you talk about it, I'm sure a lot of people saw on College Game Day, the piece between him and Russell Wilson, and how Russell Wilson sort of become not only a friend but a mentor to him. And you couldn't have a better mentor than Russell Wilson, because Keith Price really was that comeback was almost Russell Wilson-esque toward the end of the game for the Huskies. Mm-hmm.
Final minute here with Aaron Levine, Q13 Sports Director at Q13 Fox in Seattle. And Aaron, you mentioned College Game Day, and it's nice to see a little notoriety coming nationally from ESPN. Now the big rivalry, of course, Oregon-Washington on Saturday. Game Day will be at UW.
Yeah, it's going to be fun on Saturday, guys. My most intrigue is seeing all the Washington State fans showing up with the Cougar flags, considering that's part of the game day tradition, and then trying to make their way on Montlake's campus. I mean, there's going to be Oregon Duck fans. There are going to be a ton of Washington State fans out there, too. So if you're a Husky fan, get there early and try and bring all of your friends to kind of, you know, get in front of those Washington State flags, because you know the Cougars want to ruin this Husky party on Saturday, too.
Aaron, thanks for coming on here. I know that you got a short schedule here, and we appreciate you for coming on the show, man. We wish you continued success, and, of course, congratulations with the Stanford Cardinal getting a victory. And where will you be on Saturday? Will you be there at College Game Day, kind of in the crowd a little bit? Just kind of.
I probably won't be there at 4 o'clock in the morning, but you might see me there a little later on in the morning. I'll be there probably for the first half and see how it's going against the Ducks. Obviously rooting for the Huskies on Saturday, and then the Stanford game starts at 3 o'clock. So we'll see where I'm at sometime on Saturday.
Should be a great game. Hey, Aaron, thanks for joining us, man. And again, continued success to you, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks a lot, Aaron.
Take care.
Sports director at Q13 Fox in Seattle, Aaron Levine, kind enough to join us. Big-time guest tonight here on The Double with the Double S Express. And we will return after this. You're listening to On The Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And big time thank you to Aaron Levine, Q13 Sports Director, joining us top of the show, our big time guest tonight, talking all things UW and Stanford.
Yeah, you know, it had to have been a fun weekend for Aaron. Getting a chance to, you know, root on his alma mater and, you know, he, of course, covering the University of Washington, you know, being torn. That's not a bad thing when, you know, these are two teams that are in the top 20 and they're actually vying for a Pac-12 championship. You know, I can relate to that back in 2011, I believe, the national championship when Auburn was in the national championship. Of course, you know, me going to Auburn University and, you know, my son actually, my oldest boy playing for the Oregon Ducks, and you know, just remembering those two teams being in the national championship, it was a win-win for me, because if, you know, my Auburn Tigers win, it, you know, I win. If my son's team wins, I win. But if the Auburn Tigers wins for him, it's a lose for him. So But yeah, I remember, you know, watching that game, and, you know, of course the house was split, and, you know, but it was fun times. So I can imagine for Aaron, you know, being pulled in both directions, but at the end of the day, you wind up feeling good, because either way you have a, you know, heartfelt for both teams.
And yeah, as we've learned in this sports broadcasting world, you grow attached to the team that you're covering. Even though you may not start out a fan, you may not like that team. And in Aaron's case, he went to Stanford, so he's a Cardinal through and through. But now he's spent, goodness, what is it, 5, 6, 7 years already? It's hard to believe it's been that many years here in Seattle for Aaron Levine. And you cover the team on a weekly basis. You see them 2, 3, 4 times a week. You're talking to these guys at practice. You're in the locker room. And, I mean, we've been there. If you want to go all the way back to the Tacoma Thunder and then also on the professional level. And it just happens. And so, yeah, that's how he can be torn. And, you know, like you were saying, either way, it's kind of a win-win, although part of you is going to feel a little bit crummy for the team that loses.
Yeah, you know, could you imagine if the Huskies won that game and then they go into this week, College Game Day coming up to Montlake, the Oregon Ducks coming into town? I mean, wow, the stage was set for something spectacular. Still is going to be a great weekend. Still going to be a spectacular game. I'm just going to be enamored to see all of the, you know, the spectacle and the grandeur of the game, and then to see what Oregon's uniforms are going to look like when they come out of the tunnel, and the University of Washington, those gold helmets. I really love those as well.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I'm Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. And if you want to call in and talk football, college, or pro, give us a jingle, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471, to talk to the Double S Express. And as we move along, Sean Boyd, you had a great day, a great night last night at O.co in Oakland, working for the television network for the late, late Sunday night game, which was Monday morning if you're on the East Coast. And, man, Raiders, Chargers, you were there for CBS, which really turned into NFL Network. Kind of odd how that worked out, but good times were had if you're a fan of the Raiders.
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned that game, and of course the Oakland Raiders, it was scheduled to be a 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time game, but because of the ALCS baseball, the Oakland A's playing against the Detroit Tigers, move the game to Sunday night, 8:35 kickoff. And I can tell you the fanfare and everything for the game was excellent. Raider Nation did not disappoint. And, you know, one of the things that I took from the game, Sean Wally, was this, is that, you know, even though it was a different setting and you could feel it as, you know, especially as I entered into the stadium, walked out onto the field, you know, it was a little more quiet in the beginning because, you know, it was a different format, different time. You know, it looked like both teams were, you know, trying to get acclimated to this 8:30 kickoff. But then as the crowd started to come in and, you know, the players started to go through their routines, and I watched Terrell Pryor come out on the field in his early outs, and you know, I looked at him and I saw something in him that was a little different, and it was a confidence, it was a maturity, and I wasn't sure how he was going to play. But, man, he went out there onto the field and took care of business, I believe, through 18 to 23 for 221 yards, had a couple of touchdowns, early goings. The biggest thing is he hasn't had a turnover in 3 games. I believe it's 3. It might be 4 games, but he hasn't had a turnover in 3 games. And you want to talk about a quarterback that's getting better and maturing. Nothing says maturity more than that.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's definitely taken the reins of the Oakland Raiders, and Terrell Pryor is showing that it was a good thing that Al Davis had faith in him to draft him in the supplemental draft, and it means a lot to Terrell Pryor that Mr. Davis was able to do that, and he sat out last week. The team said, look, you know what? We don't want to rush you back. I don't know if you heard this, Sean. He asked for a tinted visor for the Redskins game, and that's when Dennis Allen and crew said, wait a minute, if you need a tinted visor, then you're not recovered, because that's one of the issues with a concussion is light sensitivity. So that was pretty much the straw that broke the camel's back. And they said, you're not playing, you need to rest. And hey, it worked out in the sense of hopefully he's healed and they won the game.
Yeah, you know, you can't help but root for Terrell Pryor, and just think of all the things that have happened to him to get him to this point. Of course, you know, back in college, he has this, you know, this run in with accepting some money because he was going to a wedding, and an alumni bought him a suit, and so he got in trouble for that. You know, he comes into the NFL with this mark on his record, and you know, Al Davis takes a chance on him, and by taking a chance on him, you know, he goes through sitting, you know, behind Carson Palmer, and then the next year he comes in and there's Matt Flynn sitting there looking to take over. But this year, more importantly, how Terrell Pryor's maturity has taken over. So not only did he take the job from Matt Flynn, last week, 2 weeks ago, he gets the concussion in Denver. He has to sit out there. He almost started that week, but for whatever reason, you know, he said he needed the visor because his eyes were hurting. And so Matt Flynn gets a chance to prove that he can actually be a starting quarterback once again. Matt Flynn stinks up the joint. And so Terrell Pryor comes out. And during this week, you know, he hears rumors of Josh Freeman looking to or possibly coming to Oakland. And, of course, we know that Greg Olsen, offensive coordinator for the Oakland Raiders, has ties with Josh Freeman. None of that bothered Terrell Pryor. This guy is special, and you know, there are lots of quarterbacks out there that we give credit to, the Andrew Lucks, the RG3s, the Russell Wilsons, the of course the Peyton Mannings, the whole nine. I think it's time that we start to give a little bit of credit to this young man, because he's taken a beating from the jump. To say that he's not an accurate quarterback, he can only use his legs. This guy stood in the pocket yesterday, and he delivered strike after strike after strike. He hit 10 in a row, as a matter of fact, in the first half. And he can kill you with his legs as well. I mean, yeah, if there's any quarterback right now that's the rising star in the NFL, it's Terrell Pryor.
And while you're watching Pryor and his success yesterday at O.co, you were in the press box with your TV network credential, and you had a chance to meet a good acquaintance of mine and a friend of the show, Eric Williams, who used to be the Seahawk insider beat writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. He has moved on to hopefully bigger and better things for him, is now writing for ESPN.com and the San Diego Chargers. So he was at O.co, and you had a chance to meet him, and thank him for being on the show.
Yeah, so Eric Williams, for all of you in the Pacific Northwest, Eric is doing well, of course, working for ESPN right now and the San Diego Chargers, as you just explained, and just getting a chance to talk about the transition that he's making down there and understanding what it is as far as the rival was concerned. I don't think Eric understood how tough of a game and how big of a rival the San Diego Chargers Oakland Raiders game was, and he's getting a chance firsthand, as he explained, that, you know, these two teams hate each other. And so, you know, going into that game yesterday, it was important for the Oakland Raiders to put their stamp on, and you know, they've been the butt of a lot of jokes the past few years. And so I don't think that, you know, the Oakland Raiders are the worst team in the NFL, like most of the prognosticators are saying, and it showed last night. You know, with a makeshift offensive line, and you have an agile quarterback, and then the running back's not, you know, your number one running back's not healthy, and there's a huge question mark at receiver, and yet they're still coming out and winning games. I think there's a tremendous upside for Oakland as they move forward going through the season.
The irony being, with Eric Williams now covering the Chargers, he's a diehard Raider fan, and so you guys got to talk about that, and he put two and two together. And one of our most fan favorite listeners is a guy by the name of Gil Boyd, who has strong ties in the Lakewood, Tacoma area. And Eric Williams put two and two together and said what to you?
Well, he looked at me and he says, wow. He says, wait a minute. Are you Mr. Boyd's son? And I said, yeah. I said, yes, I am. And he said, and he was so elated to actually put two and two together. And, you know, we talked about that a little bit, and, you know, he's had nothing but great things to say about my dad. And, you know, this is something that I've known all my life. And as a matter of fact, you know, for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, you know, there's a state fair up there called the Puyallup Fair. And actually, it's the county fair. I'm sorry.
I have to correct you. It is the Washington State Fair.
It is the Washington State Fair.
The official state fair.
Yeah, so they changed it to the Washington State Fair. Well, when I was growing up, I mean, there wasn't a year that would go by. We would go to the Puyallup Fair, and we'd walk in as a family, and we couldn't walk 5 feet without, you know, one of my dad's former students coming up and just saying what a great, great man that he is. And so to be down here in California and actually talk with, you know, somebody who's with ESPN and has Pacific Northwest ties and to talk about my father, that's great, man. That, you know, these are the things that you live for. And, you know, I'd like to say, you know, working with the NFL and, you know, getting a chance to be around broadcasters and being around the players and everything, but, you know, actually having that moment to where somebody actually takes time out to talk about your dad, great things about your dad, that's living the dream. Definitely.
Just goes to show you what an absolutely small world it can be when a guy, Eric Williams, who's doing great things in the sports world, moves on to San Diego, yet has ties to Tacoma. His family's still there. His wife and kids are still there, and he's waiting for winter break at school to get them down to San Diego. And here you are in Oakland, and your dad is the subject of conversation.
Yeah, you know, and Eric, you know, as you're saying, working with San Diego, we talked about Aaron Levine earlier and being split with cheering for the University of Washington and Stanford. I know that even though Eric works for San Diego or is a writer for the San Diego Chargers, he will always be a Raider fan. So that's not going to change.
Well, staying in the AFC West, there's a lot of good football going on. Two teams that are perfect, the 5-0 Denver Broncos, the 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs play the Raiders next week.
Yeah, and this is a who would have thunk it? You know, at the beginning of the season, we're talking about tough divisions, and the NFC West is definitely a division that has been talked about with Seattle putting its dominance down and San Francisco trying to stake its claim on going back to the Super Bowl. And, of course, you have Arizona and St. Louis that are trying to put their mark in the NFL as well. Who would have thought that the Denver Broncos, we knew that Denver was great, but having them undefeated at 5-0 right now probably would have been, you know, a little bit of a stretch. But to actually have the Kansas City Chiefs at 5-0 as well says a lot for the AFC West. And so it says that they're a little bit stronger than the rest of the NFL believes, and it's going to be something to see, you know, in the weeks to come. Now, I'm hoping that the Kansas City Chiefs' reign comes to an end this next weekend as my beloved Raiders go on into Arrowhead to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. But it does. It shows a lot of strength in the AFC West. It says a lot about Andy Reid taking over in Kansas City. It says a lot about Alex Smith. Here's a guy that's been beat up in San Francisco for a little bit, no fault of his own, had six offensive coordinators in 6 years. And now it looks like he's trying to gain some stability and has found a home in Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City's been a team that has been great on paper the last few years. They just never put it together. And now with the leadership of an Andy Reid and the smarts of a quarterback like Alex Smith, it's all coming together.
Yes, and of course you have the strong leadership with Jamaal Charles in the backfield and Dwayne Bowe at receiver. I mean, this team on offense, it has a lot of firepower and should go a long way. So they're not a fluke. And so I look forward to seeing what Kansas City does as the season goes on.
There's a lot of people that are wanting Denver and Kansas City to stay undefeated. So when they meet, it will be the 9-0 Bowl.
Yes, the 9-0 Bowl. So, you know, again, I'm hoping that, man, the Raiders, you know, can kind of upset that. But if that doesn't happen, that's going to be one of the games of the year.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. My name is Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. Coming up after the break, we'll be taking your calls. Give us a shout. 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471 to talk anything sports, but mainly football right here on the Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Give us a call. Talk football. Talk baseball playoffs. Whatever you want to discuss. 888-429-5471.
Yeah, and so we were talking about the AFC West just before the break, and one of the things that I didn't get to touch on, Sean Wally, was the big game yesterday in Dallas as the Denver Broncos come from behind to actually beat the Dallas Cowboys 51-48. What a barn burner.
I was wondering if that was an Arena League game or, you know, some kind of indoor track meet. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to keep pace with it when I was at O.co and you know, seeing the score early on that, you know, Dallas jumped out 14-0. I thought, man, well, this is a game that Dallas is going to make a statement. And, you know, all of a sudden, late in the fourth quarter, you know, Dallas has the ball. And then Tony Romo happens. That's not a surprise to you, is it, Sean Wally?
Oh, not at all. Throws for 500 yards, but the game's on the line in the final minute, and what does he do? Throws an interception. He and Phillip Rivers must be made from the same cloth, two peas from the same pod. Oh, they put up great numbers. They're great quarterbacks. Yeah, until the game's on the line, until December rolls around.
Yeah, you know, but that train is never late. And, you know, for Dallas and for Tony Romo, I always accredited back, and, you know, we're on a radio show up in Seattle a few weeks ago, and I talked about this, and I accredit Tony Romo's mishaps all the way back to 2005 with that debacle on the, you know, for being the holder to win the game in Seattle. And ever since he flopped that, I mean, his play has been up and down like a roller coaster ever since.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. I was on the field for that game, you know, working cable for the TV cameras, and couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah, it looked like a chip shot extra point, but it was actually a field goal. And, you know, Tony made excuses all over the place for, you know, the whole, it was a punter's ball, or it wasn't the right ball, this, that, and the other. And, you know, here he is yesterday with an opportunity to win the game, driving down the field, and he throws the most inopportune interception that allows Denver to go down and win the game.
I think I figured Romo's problems out.
What's that?
His inconsistencies and his problems finishing happened ever since he let Carrie Underwood slip through his fingers.
That's got to be it.
I mean, who does that? Carrie Underwood? Kick her to the curb? Now your game suffers.
Yeah, hey, but when you're Tony Romo, you know, I guess you could do that. But yeah, you're right, man. His play has just been sporadic, and if you're a Cowboys fan, you know, how much longer can you hang on for that ride?
Well, they gave him a huge contract, so it's going to be quite a while. Jerry Jones is riding, living, and dying by Tony Romo's hands.
Yeah. Well, man, enough about all of that, man. I mean, tell me what's going on in the NFC West over the weekend.
Well, things got a little closer at the top as the everybody's favorite, the lovely San Francisco 49ers, demolished the Houston Texans, who, good night, if there's a team that underachieves year after year after year, and this goes back to the Monday night game when the Chargers were spanking Matt Schaub and the Texans, and the Texans somehow came back in the second half, and I was having a minor Twitter feud with former Bronco safety who's been on the show with us here, Nick Ferguson, that, you know what, it might be time for Gary Kubiak to go. And he was like, no, hold on, it's too early. Well, here they are again, fumbling, bumbling, and Matt Schaub is the center of the problem, but it's not just him. There's 22 guys on the team, and there's breakdowns in multiple areas. And the Houston Texans should be talked about as an AFC contender. And right now they're a pretender.
Yeah, man, you hit it right on the head. And I believe there's an interesting stat that came out. Matt Schaub has thrown an interception that's been run back to the end zone. How many games in a row? I think it's four games in a row. That, you know, that is amazing.
Not the kind of record you want to be touching on and having a part of.
Yeah, and at inopportune times as well. I mean, you know, yesterday in San Francisco, it was early in the game, and, you know, that set the tone for San Francisco to just put the throttle down. But, you know, when they played Seattle the week before, I mean, it was the last one of the last plays of the game. Actually, it was the backbreaker for Seattle to win. And, I mean, you know, they have to figure this out. The Houston Texans do. They have to figure out who they are. Are they a passing team? Are they a running team? You got J.J. Watt on the defensive side. That defensive line force and that push. You have Ed Reed that's kind of playing around a little bit. Is he healthy? Is he not? You know, they have to try to figure out who they are in order to, you know, be the team that, you know, the NFL believes them to be, which is one of the top teams that should be vying to play for the Super Bowl.
Well, this seems to be happening just about every year for the Texans. And, you know, they make the playoffs, but they're out in the first round. Or they don't make the playoffs and, you know, the ceiling's falling, caving in on them. Well, you know, at one point or another, you have to get over that hump. And Matt Schaub's not getting any younger. Ed Reed obviously is not getting any younger. He looked, you know, mighty old when he was getting abused in the secondary yesterday in San Francisco.
So tell me, Sean Wally, what do you think this does for the San Francisco 49ers? Of course, it's a convincing win, 34-3. Does that put San Francisco back in line as you know, the top team to look at in the NFC or in the NFC West for that matter? I mean, you're looking at Seattle. Seattle had a tough loss yesterday against the Indianapolis Colts, which is a red hot team that we haven't talked about in the AFC. But Seattle, 2 weeks in a row, have had these close calls with games. Does the momentum or the pendulum swing back a little bit to San Francisco in this division?
I think what you're seeing is San Francisco is playing better and getting back to what they had done previously when they were having success. They're feeding the rock to Gore, and great things happen when you can run the ball. You can do the play action. You can have Kaepernick roll out. You can run the read options, and when you're running the ball successfully, that opens the door to everything else, and that's what they're getting back to. You know, San Francisco did just demolish Houston. Seattle played them close, but on the other hand, Seattle was in Houston. It's a big difference playing a team on the road versus playing them at your home stadium. So it's not time to say that San Francisco's, you know, got momentum back and they're taking over the West. Seattle had a very close loss on the road. They went 1-1 on two back-to-back Eastern time zone games with Houston and Indianapolis, two 10 a.m. starts, I should say, in Seattle. And, you know, they fought to the very end. They had the ball in Indy with a chance to win. And that's really all you can ask for, especially against a good team like the Colts.
Yeah, so let's talk about Seattle and their home stability in contrast to how they play on the road. So you're looking at that, the loss yesterday to the Indianapolis Colts and the week prior to, you know, playing close to the Houston Texans and coming out with a win. Week one against the Carolina Panthers, who, you know, are looking like a team that's on a downward spiral, a close game as well. Is this something that Seattle should be concerned about? I mean, this goes all the way back to last year. Of course, Seattle can go 8-0 at home, and they can go 500 on the road, and they'll finish with a 12-4 record, and you know, we call it a great season. But there has to be a concern in Seattle as far as how they play at home and what happens when they go on the road. Am I looking a little bit too much into that, or is this something that they should be concerned about?
Well, if anything, things are looking up for Seattle on the road. You know, they're 2-1 right now. Mm-hmm. Last year, it was the other direction. They were losing more than they were winning. They couldn't win on the road. And then the Chicago game happened where Russell Wilson guided them back not once, but twice to defeat the Bears. And from there, they started winning on the road. And a close contest on the road, win or lose, I'm okay with it. It's the blowouts. It's the, you know what, we didn't show up. We didn't bring it. Okay, why not? That's when you have to wonder, scratch your head, and worry. You know, now they are 2-1. They're coming home to play Tennessee, and the schedule gets a little bit easier. You get the Rams. You get the Cardinals coming up. So you've finished 5 games at 4-1. If you match that the rest of the season, that's going to have you 12-3 with one game left with a chance to go 13-3. I think any team in the league would take that.
Definitely. No doubt about it. And so, I mean, are we reading anything? Because you had mentioned, you know, the parity in the NFC West from top to bottom. You know, of course, Arizona winning yesterday, they beat Carolina. And then you have St. Louis, who beats Jacksonville 34-20. Those are two, let's face it, Carolina and Jacksonville are probably the two low teams in the one of the two low teams in the NFL. Is it too early to say that, you know, those teams, the bottom two teams, Arizona and St. Louis, are actually viable, you know, foes for Seattle and San Francisco?
Well, as you touched on with the AFC West matchups, anytime you have an interdivisional game, it can be a flip of a coin. That being said, the Rams have not done as well as people had thought they would so far. Granted, they had a good game and a good win yesterday, but it was against Jacksonville. You can't really take a lot out of that other than a happy feeling that things went well and you won the game. Arizona is kind of right there too. They've done okay once or twice, and then they've looked pretty awful the other 2-3 games of the season. So, but yeah, intra-division, anything can happen. You play them twice. You hope to split. In the real world, you hope to split. You hope to win the home game and play close on the road and see what happens. And really, I don't think that St. Louis or Arizona should be a problem for the likes of Seattle or San Francisco. But as I said, anything can happen when you play a divisional opponent that you play twice a year. The coaches know each other. You know their tendencies. You've got that much more film on them. And you roll the dice and see what happens.
Yeah, so if Seattle and San Francisco continue to win out, Seattle sitting at 4-1, excuse me, San Francisco at 3-2 right now, I'm looking and circling a date, December the 8th in San Francisco. You and I will be there at the game working for Fox. And man, that should be an exciting game at that time. You know, should be the A crew that's there. And, you know, San Francisco and Seattle, both teams that are looking like they are positioning themselves for a strong playoff run, should be a great game, Sean Wally.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now that game is on Fox. And as you mentioned, we will be working that for the TV network. But if they do win out and it's, you know, one game separates the two teams, that very well could get flexed to NBC and we could be working the night game. Yeah. One of the guys on the NBC crew, good buddy of mine, Mark Farzetta, who's on 610 WIP in Philadelphia, is also a part of the Sunday night crew for NBC. And he took a picture at Candlestick last night and put it up on Facebook and said, maybe our last time at Candlestick because of Levi Stadium opening for next season. And I said, wait a minute, Mark, don't you think there's a possibility December 8th you might be back there with Seattle and San Francisco? So we'll see what happens with the schedule and how it all shakes out, and we'll see if it's going to be a 1 o'clock kick or a 5:30 kick under the lights.
Man, either way, we're going to be there, and it's going to be an exciting game.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not the Seahawks can go down to San Francisco and obviously play better than they did last year and keep up the throttling of the Niners that they've done the last two games, but those last two games were in Seattle.
Yes. And so, yeah, under the lights in San Francisco, I don't think that the crowd will be as loud, but it should be a frenzied atmosphere and, you know, a good game to watch.
So what did you take away from the weekend overall in the NFL? Anything surprise you? You know, myself personally, you have to look at all of the injuries to the quarterbacks, not just this week, but in general. You know, you've got Jacksonville not being able to keep either quarterback healthy in Gabbert and Henny. And then you've got Brian Hoyer in Cleveland having a great start to getting his chance. And he's from Ohio and things are going great. And then he tears his ACL and he's done. And Brandon Whedon was hurt also in Cleveland. Now he's getting another chance and he's back. Christian Ponder has been out with a cracked rib. And you've got quarterback after quarterback having injuries. Michael Vick went out this last week. And I don't know if the quarterbacks are just running too much or if they're just getting hit the right way and those limbs don't bend like Gumby and you've got an injury.
Yes and yes. And so, you know, with the mobile quarterback comes the injury. So whenever you have a quarterback that moves outside of the pocket, it opens that quarterback up for a lot more than just taking a hit while standing in the pocket. And so when you get the quarterback that actually crosses that line of scrimmage and turns himself into a runner, then it's no holds barred. Unless they can get into that hook slide quick enough, you have fast, strategic defensive linemen, corners, linebackers that are gunning for these quarterbacks when they take off and run. And it makes for one, as a spectator, it makes for exciting football to see the quarterback running and then, you know, the crowd with anticipation. But it also, you know, as you gasp for, you know, take a deep breath, you're just hoping, man, I hope that this guy doesn't, you know, get a concussion or get some type of an ACL or MCL tear, you know, because it adds that different element, that certain element in the game. But, yeah, you're right. I believe that, you know, the quarterbacks really have to be a little more careful with how they're running out of the pocket. I saw that a little bit more in Terrell Pryor last night. You know, after he had the concussion a couple weeks ago in Denver, you know, he did run out of the pocket, but he was more methodical with it, and he was quick to run out of bounds, and he took what was given. He didn't try to do go and get the extra yard. And so, but you had mentioned the most exciting or surprising thing in the NFL over the weekend. And I would have to say that, Brandon Whedon in Cleveland actually getting a chance to come out and right the ship. But more importantly, the Cleveland Browns all together. I believe they've won their winners of three in a row since they've gotten rid of Trent Richardson. And, you know, who would have thought that? You know, it looked like the Cleveland Browns were going to throw, you know, they were throwing the season in. And there was this anarchy in Cleveland and, you know, what's going on. And now when you look at the AFC North, there at the top are the Cleveland Browns at 3-2, tied with Baltimore and Cincinnati. What a great story.
And it's been a long time coming for a success in Cleveland and the faithful dog pound there. And they've suffered for many, many years. And for a handful of years now, we've thought, okay, they've got enough talent. They should be, you know, 500, maybe a little better, maybe sneak into a wild card spot. And it's just never happened. And Mike Holmgren didn't have any luck or success there with his talent evaluation running that team. And there's a lot of bad blood between Holmgren and the great Jim Brown, if you believe what a lot of people say, the best player ever in the NFL. And now things appear to be going right, and the team is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and so, you know, we're one game past the first quarter of the season. But what a difference a week makes. You know, last week we're looking at seven teams that were undefeated. And then as the end of the weekend, there are only three, and you're looking at New Orleans, Denver, and Kansas City. So it was more of an upset weekend in the NFL. And, you know, just that one loss, it's amazing. And we had mentioned the NFC West. It's amazing how what one loss does is it brings that whole division top to bottom closer together. And so it'll be interesting to see in the next couple of weeks if the, you know, with the power rankings, if the top teams start to get a little bit more of a separation, and you'll have your bye weeks coming up. So where a lot of these teams will start licking their wounds, and those players who are injured will start to come back. But right now, you know, it's great for the NFL.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. Together we are the Double S Express. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. And Sean, before we close the show, we have to give credence to the Major League Baseball playoffs. And there's a team that caused your football game last night to be very, very late because they played a game Saturday night at O.co, and that is the Oakland Athletics, who actually played today in Detroit and had success.
Yeah, an early game in Detroit at 10 a.m. start Pacific Standard Time. And, of course, the I'm excited. The Oakland Athletics get the win 6-3 in Detroit. It was exciting. Parker gets the win. And, I believe Bartolo Colon might start tomorrow to try to close this thing out. Today, Sanchez for Detroit gets the loss. But some of the bats in Oakland started to wake up. Eunice Cespedes has been the hot bat for the Oakland A's. He's batting .385 in this playoff series. But Coco Crisp woke up today, 3-4 with one run batted in. He's now batting .333. You know, just waiting for a couple of these other bats to wake up, and hopefully that'll be tomorrow. Josh Donaldson is on the schneid a little bit, and Moss as well. But, and Reddick is, he's strong. He's a strong bat as well, standing out there in right field. And hopefully if those can come together, they can close this game out tomorrow, or this series out tomorrow.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't say, how about the Pittsburgh Pirates? First time in the playoffs in 21 years, and they are looking to put their foe away and win their first playoff series in 2 decades.
Yeah, unfortunately today, St. Louis Cardinals win 2-1. And so it sets up a decisive game 5. And so hopefully Pittsburgh can win. I'm old enough to, telling on my age, I'm old enough to know the last time and experience the last time the Pittsburgh Pirates won the World Series with Willie Stargell and Dave Parker. We are family.
Wow, back in the day, man. I thought you were going maybe to Bobby Bonilla and Barry Bonds in the 90s, man, when they made the playoffs. You went way back.
I went back when they won it. And so, those were fun times, actually getting a chance to see that and have a nation embraced Pittsburgh. And so you're starting to see that again, Pittsburgh, it's been a while, and they're an exciting team. Not a strong team, but an exciting team. So we'll get a chance to see if Pittsburgh can close this one out in a couple of days.
All right, Sean, so we've got the week ahead. What are you looking forward to? We've got, obviously, the MLB playoffs continuing, week 6 in the NFL. What do you have your eye on in the coming week?
Well, of course, I have my eye on my beloved Raiders taking down the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the last undefeated teams in the NFL. Looking forward to watching and seeing what comes up of Josh Freeman, who's actually signed with the Minnesota Vikings. There is an interesting situation in Minnesota where you have Castle as the quarterback. You also have Ponder. And now you're bringing in Freeman, who I believe is probably the better quarterback out of the three. So it's going to be interesting to see how Leslie Frazier handles this in the coming weeks. And, is this Ponder's team, or could Freeman come in and take over a spot in Minnesota?
Well, what I'm looking at is right here in the Pacific Northwest, College Game Day at the University of Washington early Saturday morning.
Man,
as Oregon Ducks look to invade the University of Washington. And it will be a ridiculously festive, furious pace on the field and also in the stands. Great fans for both teams. And it will be one to watch, 1 p.m. on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, so my oldest son, I'm sure he's, you know, we talk about being torn, and I don't think he's as torn. He bleeds green and gold, and of course, playing for the Oregon Ducks, but he works at the University of Washington right now, showing some of the athletes around to some of the properties on the campus. He'll definitely be there for College Game Day, and he'll be there for the game. And so, you know, it should be an exciting time for him up in Montlake. And, you know, all I can say is with my ties with both teams, go Ducks and go Dogs.
And, of course, across the lake, downtown Seattle, the homecoming for Jake Locker and the Tennessee Titans, not as he had hoped, as he is injured. And Ryan Fitzpatrick will be starting at quarterback for the Titans as the Titans will take on the Seattle Seahawks at CenturyLink Field.
Yeah, and so Fitzpatrick gets a chance to prove. He had a very good game yesterday, just couldn't pull it out over the Kansas City Chiefs. But he'll get a chance to come up and play against, I believe, the best team in the NFL at home. And, you know, it's unfortunate that Jake Locker doesn't get a chance to come home and play against the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, the area that he grew up, Ferndale, Washington's own Jake Locker. Of course, you know, there'll be a tremendous fan base at CenturyLink nonetheless to root on the Titans. But I have the Seattle Seahawks winning this one hands down.
Absolutely. The Seahawks will look to rebound. And Golden Tate said today that, you know, they got to take it out on somebody, so it might as well be the Titans.
Yeah, they're just one team in the way. You know, I fear the team that has to deal with the 12th man and goes up into Seattle and play. You've earned it, Seattle. I mean, it's amazing what's been going on over the past few years, and definitely relish it because, you know, it's not every day that you have a fan base that can actually change the course of a game. And Seattle, you guys have earned it.
Well, Sean Boyd, I'm going to let you wrap this show up. Take us out. I'm Sean Wally, sending it down to Sean Boyd to wrap the show.
Well, the Monday night action, man, I am at a loss for words here. The New York Jets are up 27-14 over the Atlanta Falcons, the team that I picked to go to the Super Bowl. What is going on down in Atlanta, Georgia? It remains to be seen, of course. And a great week coming up this weekend. Of course, we talked about the Raiders taking on Kansas City, the Titans coming into Seattle, Oakland A's looking to close it out against the Detroit Tigers. Wherever you're at in the country, make sure that you make it a great day, a great night, rooting on your team. But more importantly, be safe. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd, the Double S Express. You are listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double, the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double, the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You